So welcome to the Obesity Panacea podcast. On this episode, Peter and I are joined by Colby Vorland. Or actually, Colby, I should make sure that I'm saying your last name right. I should have asked that before I hit record. So why don't you introduce yourself, Colby?
Yeah, my name is Colby Vorland, and I have a Bachelor of Science degree from University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Actually, a couple of years out of school, and we'll be in grad school soon, hopefully.
And because Peter and I were actually wondering, because we were talking about this afternoon, that we actually didn't know what you were doing. Like, we've known you, I guess, through one way or another for about a year now. We've kind of been reading your blog and you're reading ours and stuff. But how did you get into to this whole thing to begin with?
Well, I've been reading research for years, and I guess I kind of stumbled on by accident. And you know, I've always been, you know, really addicted to the internet, and it was just a good outlet. I just love to write. Turns out to be a good outlet for me. So
the first thing I wanted to chat with you about, Colby, was I'm not sure if you got. I think I sent you a tweet, or no, I left a comment on your blog, I guess, from a post you had last week. So Peter linked to your one of your posts last week in his like weekly roundup about the complex lipidome, and so we had a question from one of our plogsters or plogger, one of the people on plogs, Misha Angris, was wondering about one of the things you said, and I just thought I'd ask you because I thought it was an interesting question. So in your comment, you said in your post, you said only triglycerides or cholesterol are usually used clinically, or are usually clinically assessed. And while we know a lot about how nutrition affects these, their causal roles in disease or as biomarkers are controversial. And Misha was just wondering what's controversial about triglycerides and cholesterol as being biomarkers for disease. And I was wondering if you wanted to just kind of elaborate that. I know I'm putting you on the spot because I forget everything about writing the post if you're anything like us. But I just thought I'd ask you that question.
Well, triglycerides, may not want to group them into that, but, as far as cholesterol, I don't want to overstep my boundaries, but it seems like cholesterol is very controversial, and does it correlate with, you know, cardiovascular disease risk or not? And nutrition is involved in that.
So in terms of like total or LDL or just sort of the whole bag?
Total also, HDL, there seems to be, you know, more to the picture than these few biomarkers. And my point was that, you know, these new technologies are allowing us to gather information about so many more variables, and it should lead to more accurate understanding of, you know, risk prediction and so on an individual level.
And I want to pick up on what you just said, but before I do, Peter, weren't you asked like almost an identical question during your thesis defense, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, you know, it was funny because as Colby was talking, I was ringing in my head. I'm like, what the heck am I? Yeah, thank you for that. I think the notion is something about like there's definitely many variables you can measure, right? It's sort of what's the capacity in a regular clinic to measure all these variables. I think that's sort of the difficulty, right? Our lab has been pushing, for example, for the addition of waist circumference and assessing health risk in obese individuals, sort of, you know, going beyond BMI and assessing waist circumference, which tells you about where that excess fat is stored. And even something as simple as that, right? We're talking about a waist circumference that would literally take, you know, 3 seconds, let's say. Even that has not been as well accepted as you would have thought, given it definitely increases your to assess someone's health risk. It hasn't been as widely adopted as one would have predicted. So given that something as simple as a waist circumference seems to have seems to not be picked up as easily by sort of the clinicians and other
other people.
People, thank you, Travis. I didn't have enough caffeine today. I would almost worry that with all these variables, and I know that in research you even looked at like particle size, and so there, Dr. Dupre has got all this research on the small dense LDL particles that are particularly associated with whatever.
Which wouldn't that be more like HDL? I always get confused about that, because if you have a dense, small LDL, then doesn't that make it more like an HDL, which would be good?
That's an excellent question, Travis. I haven't. I've been away for 4 months, so this is up to you guys. You've been reading literature.
Do you know anything about that quote? I meant to ask JP when he talked to the obesity boot camp. He was talking about that, and I didn't have a chance to ask him because I always get tripped up on that. Have you ever heard about that stuff, Colby? Or because it's over my head.
Did you say the small dense LDL?
Yeah, like it's particularly bad. Is that's it, right, Peter?
Yeah.
What I remember reading, yeah, as to why that's the case, I don't, off the top of my head, I don't know. I think I read the literature like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's something I don't feel confident in my understanding, but I know that's the one, it's correlated with, it might be more, therogenic.
So we're all on the same page. We know it's bad. We have no idea why.
We have no idea what's going on. It's bad, though. It's definitely bad. You should definitely assess it. But right. See, that's what I mean. It gets to the point where how many variables can you actually measure in the clinic? One, obviously, it's a factor of cost. If you do all these tests on every single person, how reasonable is that? Two, how much time is it going to take? Travis knows I recently spent some time in the emergency department with my mother, and we waited for like 5 hours to get assessment and then basically get sent home. Like it's I get this, we're sort of getting rushed in the clinic. So when it comes down to it, if we can't ask someone to do, or if clinicians are maybe not unwilling but just simply don't have the resources or the time to measure something like waist circumference, then if we say, well, in addition to LDL, HDL, and triglycerides, you should measure all these other things and measure the density of each moiety of apolipoprotein and whatever, I think it becomes a little bit might be a little tricky in clinic. I mean, in research, definitely that makes sense if we're trying to sort of predict health risk and all that stuff. So in research,
well,
more time.
This kind of works nicely back to what I wanted to ask, Cole, because you've done some posts on, personal nutritional planning, that we're moving towards this sort of a new paradigm for nutritional research, and which seems to be more kind of like what Peter was just saying of sort of more testing to kind of drill down to your specific needs or your risk factors. And do you think that's really going to happen, that we're going to move into that new paradigm? Or I guess, do you think we're going to move into it soon?
Well, I hope. I think what nutrigenomics will allow us to do is help us understand, much better on the molecular level why certain dietary patterns or nutrients affect us in different ways, and it really brings the technologies to that we didn't have before that allow us to again study a lot more variables than the traditional reductionist approach to trying to isolate one or a few variables. I think it'll definitely bring us some solutions. And
I like the idea of not just looking at, are carbs good, are carbs bad, is meat good, is meat bad, or saturated fat good or bad, because I think the obvious answer is yes and no to all those questions. So I like the idea of getting to a more, a more nuanced approach to understanding nutrition, but from a research side, it just seems like we're going to need a whole new skill set. I mean, RCTs are just, like the type of research that Peter and I do is just not really well equipped to determine the ideal eating pattern in the real world, it seems. It's really best suited for, we're going to make these people take down their caloric intake by 500 calories, and then we're going to see what happens. Like, it's not so good for real world stuff.
Yeah, and that's what I was getting to with the clinic. And, well, what can you really measure, at a given time, someone coming in to get checked out for the risk of heart disease or whatever, there's just a limited amount of resources. So I can see something like Cooper Institute. Well,
sorry, say that again. I didn't hear that.
The Cooper Clinic, right?
Yes, yeah.
The Dallas. So, I mean, in that situation, you have people that can afford to have this as a background, and the Dallas or sorry, in the Cooper Institute, you can. It's usually for people with quite a bit of money, and they can go there for like a weekend, and they get a very comprehensive assessment of their health risk. So you have a very detailed treadmill test to measure aerobic fitness. They, as far as I can remember, they do a CT scan to measure, one, I think they do visceral fat. I think they were doing liver fat for a little bit. And these are not tests that you commonly can get in a clinic. You can't just walk into the clinic here and say, oh, can you tell me how much visceral fat I have? That doesn't happen.
And it's bloody expensive.
Oh, it's extremely expensive, yeah. And I think the last one is they do aortic calcium or something.
Right? Oh, wow. Is that cool? It could be that. I think that's coronary. A measure, isn't it? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a measure. Or is it coronary? Yeah, do you know coronary?
Coronary calcium, yeah.
It's something okay. like that, yeah.
Anyways, and then when they actually do the blood test, I mean, they measure pretty much everything you can think of. So I see in that type of environment where you have people that are willing to spend the extra money and you have a service that's being provided by sort of not your typical clinic, then I see that sort of happening. So maybe something like a Cooper Clinic could sort of pick up some of these things that come out of the recent research. And, you know, if we can point to one type of lipid versus another, it would definitely, I could see that place adopting it. Regular clinics sort of around the country, I really can't see that happening. Again, waist circumference isn't happening as often as we would like, and I highly doubt they're going
to. So, Colby, the other thing I wanted to ask you about is, because you've done a couple of interesting posts on the American, is it the American Dietetic Association or American Diabetes or the ADA?
Yep, the American Dietetic Association.
And so they're sponsored by, is it Hershey?
Yes, a number of other food companies as well. You know, a little research in financials and did a little math, and it turns out about $41 per year is all it would take to, you know, completely make up the difference that food companies, you know, pay the ADA. So, you know, I'm a little confused on why that's necessary, or it seems to me that it's not an issue of money. It's that they really think they can partner with food companies and make a difference and, you know, influence them instead of vice versa.
And I assume then that you're skeptical that they...
Skeptical of that.
And so $41 per member could make that. That's surprising that it's that little. But then I wonder. Yeah, I'm always conflicted about this. And Yoni's always laughing at me for being conflicted and not deciding one way or the other how I feel about these things. Because I do feel that, you know, it's, if we don't engage them, then they're not gonna change on their own. But yeah, I don't know, Peter. You're better at coming to conclusions than I am. I'm always waffling.
No, to be honest with you, I'm actually completely on the fence on this one, too. I don't know about this either.
And because especially like a recent conference that I went to in Toronto was sponsored by Coca-Cola, and it was very openly sponsored by Coca-Cola. The one of the PLOS blogs, their Speaking of Health blog, discussed it because it was brought up at one of the symposiums. And I don't know. Some people reacted very viscerally against it, which I guess isn't surprising at a, you know, nutrition and physical activity conference. But at the same time, you know, the conference probably wouldn't have been able to happen without their financial support. And so I always struggle with whether or not, you know, the costs and benefits where those things, where the chips fall, because it was a fantastic conference, by far the best I've been to. It was, you know, I learned a lot of great research, made a lot of great connections. For me, it was an incredibly valuable experience. And so I, you know, it's complicated. It's not as simple as I would have thought, you know, a few years ago.
Did the free Pepsi provided, did that make the conference that much better for you?
Sorry?
Did the free Pepsi make the conference that much better for you?
The free Coke, actually, because you know how it is at conferences, like you're at the conference all day, and then you're out for dinner, and then you get home late, and I was staying with a friend, so I had to commute to and from, so one day I had, like, two or three cups of tea and I think two large things of Diet Coke in my stomach. I don't think my stomach's ever felt as upset as it did that night. And I have an iron stomach and I felt absolutely horrible. So, I'm not sure if that was worth it, but, the fact that the conference happened was appreciated by me at least.
Yeah.
And so Colby, so then I guess what your fear then, I guess, obviously is that sort of the work of groups like the ADA would be compromised by their association with the food companies, that they would be, you know, sort of be more conservative, or that they would alter their behavior in a way that might benefit the food companies more than their members or the public, or that I'm assuming that's the concern.
Yeah, that is the concern. And yeah, again, I'm so, you know, a little on the fence too. You know, I'm not involved in the ADA, and I'm not a member, and obviously tens of thousands of people, and they, you know, probably they believe in the mission. So, I would just like to have more transparency, I guess, in what exactly those relationships are and what kind of changes are being made.
Well, I think that's a really good point. And because a lot of the time, I mean, sometimes people will say things, Coke or McDonald's, they're the ones that people really get angry about, or Walmart sometimes, but they don't have problems with, Nike or Apple. And as Christy Wilcox pointed out on Science Blogs, any company that has enough money to really be a potential sponsor for a national organization is going to have some sort of skeleton in its closet that makes it sort of ethically unsuitable to be a sponsor. And so, I think it's important that these things are open, and that I think it's good that people are starting to really discuss and question them, so that at least if these things are done, it's done in a way that maximizes the good, sort of, reduces the bad as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. That was good chat. It was definitely nice to get to chat with Colby after exchanging tweets and stuff for about a year. It's weird to finally talk to someone after all that interaction,
Yeah, it's absolutely weird. Well, thanks a lot for joining us, Colby. And do you want to tell everybody where they can find your blog, or how they can connect with you if they feel so inclined?
Sure. My blog is called Nutritional Blogma, and it's at recomp.com/blogma.
Excellent. And I'll add a link to that in the show notes in case anyone or what I think is the show notes. I don't actually know, but I'll put that in there so that if people are interested, they can find it. And, well, thanks a lot. Thanks to everybody for listening. And to visit our site, you can go to blogs.plos.org/obesitypanacea. And thanks a lot, guys. Have a good night.
Hey, you too. Take care.